It's great to worship the Lord together. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter. Also, if you'd like to have your bulletin open at the inner fold, there's some blanks there and there's some scriptures there that we'll be using as we move through the message today. We did start a series at the end of last year in 2 Peter called Overcoming Error. And the title of this morning's message is The Way of Fruitfulness. My heart's desire as we go to this message today is that everyone in this congregation would want to follow this way of fruitfulness. Let's ask God's help. Father, we dare not come to your word without seeking you. The Spirit of God who wrote the word of God through men is able to illuminate the word of God to our hearts this morning. And we seek him. We seek his understanding. We seek his empowerment to live the words that are before us. Great words with great goals for our lives. May we seek and love righteousness, and may we seek for these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, many of you will recognize the name Justin Peters. Justin Peters spoke at the AFBC conference a couple of years ago. And he is an expert on the Word of Faith movement. That's what he spoke on. On his website, I don't know whether any of you ever went to his website when he was here in Australia, but on his website, he gives this testimony. He says, I was supposedly saved and baptized when I was 7 years old. Growing up in church, I knew all the right answers. And then he goes on to explain, the two components of genuinely knowing Christ are repentance and faith. Faith in Christ, who he is, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. He says, though, but through my remaining years of high school and my first years of uni, I was not at all walking with the Lord Jesus. I was more concerned what my friends thought about me than what the Lord Jesus thought about me. There was little, if any, reading of Scripture, and I didn't really have a heart for the things of God. He says, I went on to seminary, earned 2 degrees, and wrote my thesis on the Word of Faith movement. And then in 2004, I began doing the seminars that I'm still doing today. There was no evidence of repentance or indeed any genuine faith. He says, you see, I had doubts, severe doubts. Many were the nights I'd go back to my hotel room after preaching somewhere, and I would lay awake worried that if I were to die, I would go to hell. People were being helped by my ministry, but that was solely because of the Bible content in it. It had nothing to do with me. Around 2007, I came across Ray Comfort's ministry, Way of the Master. He says, I'm so thankful and I enthusiastically recommend it. Comfort, as many of you know, emphasizes using the Ten Commandments to convict of sin and lead people to repentance. So here I was, Justin Peters, an evangelist with 2 seminary degrees, known around the world and considered to be an expert on the Word of Faith movement, one of the most common and widespread heresies in the world today. And yet I doubted my own salvation. I had blinders on and was blinded myself. He quotes then Ephesians 1:4-5, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to Himself. And therefore he says in response to those two verses, so in his sovereign grace he broke me. He absolutely shattered me. I had never genuinely wept over my sins before. I was completely overwhelmed and broken. And it was this point he turned from his sins and turned to Christ. And he says in response, he is so beautiful, so merciful, so gracious, and so kind in not giving me that which I deserve. This is when I was genuinely saved. What I never understood, he says, was that people can't repent, not on their own. Genuine repentance is in and of itself a gift. It is granted. It is of faith. Acts chapter 11 and verse 17. If therefore God gave them, the Gentiles, the same gift as he did to us, Jews, when we had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God, Peter says. When they heard these sayings, they became silent. And they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. He adds, God's sovereignty and man's accountability are both taught in the scripture and both are true. Charles Spurgeon once said, as well might a gnat seek to drink in the ocean, so might a finite man seek to comprehend the eternal God. Now my comment on that is, I find it a shocking testimony, shocking that a man can study the Bible so much and claim to be a Christian for so long and yet never be saved. Yes, it is shocking, but it is also quite common. It's so stunning that it causes me to ask the question, well, am I saved then? Travelling from northern Victoria to the coast one time, I forgot to check the petrol gauge before we left. And therefore, in the middle of nowhere, I knew we were in trouble. Don't wait to ask the question, am I really saved? Reaching our eternal destination depends on being truly and genuinely saved. It's a good and wise question to ask, like, do I have enough petrol to get there? Praise God, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells us how to make sure of our salvation, and he says it in three different ways. He tells us, stop coasting and put your foot on the accelerator in the Christian life. But let me give you Peter's thought flow in 2 Peter chapter 1 to put these comments in context. At the end of last year, we looked at verses 1 through 4. In verse 2, he says, may you abundantly experience the peace and grace of Jesus Christ through your relationship with him. Verse 3, God's power has granted to us everything that we need to live the Christian life and everything that we need to become like the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, part of God's provision is to, in living the Christian life, are the exceedingly great and precious promises that he gives to us. That through these promises, we can take part in the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have victory over the world and over the flesh. Now we move on to new territory, verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now go back to verse 5. At the beginning of that verse he says, but also for this very reason. So Paul is referring to the unlimited resources given to us by God in verses 3 and 4. Since God has lavished everything on us so that we can live the Christian life and become like the Lord Jesus. Since he has blessed you with exceedingly great and precious promises, do not be slack. Do not hold back. Make every effort. Put your foot on the accelerator in living the Christian life. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. That word diligence has the idea of eagerness. It also has the idea of, let's not waste time about this, let's get into it. Stop coasting in the Christian life, and with eagerness, put your foot on the accelerator. Now, as a young Christian, I had totally the wrong idea. I understood about the Holy Spirit. God had granted me to understand that. But I expected because I had the Holy Spirit, there would be very little effort on my part. I was totally wrong, of course. I needed to be involved in the process. I needed to make every effort. And when I look back, I was able to say, bless God. He enabled me. He did it through me. Yes, it was all of God, but I had to give all diligence. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, because we've been given so much, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. The word add means to supply generously, and we're going to look at that a little bit more when we get to verse 11, because it's translated a different way in verse 11. We are to generously add, we are to vigorously supply virtue on top of faith. And then Peter goes on to a list which is unique in the New Testament. It's not a list of fruit, as we see in Galatians chapter 5. We'll look at that in a minute. But it's a list of the way to fruitfulness. This is the way to get to those Bible fruit. First, salvation, that's saving faith. Secondly, virtue, which is a a moral excellence, a desire for moral excellence. Thirdly, knowledge of the Scripture and knowing about Christ. Fourthly, self-control to live out what we've learned about Christ. Perseverance to continue in it, then godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. These eight are the way of fruitfulness. And verse 8 comments on these, on the way of fruitfulness, saying, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge," that is the relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Or to put that in the positive, if you have these eight in abundance, then you will be fruitful in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. These eight are the way of fruitfulness, and we're going to go through them carefully in the weeks ahead. Now, the fruitful Christian life is explained more fully by Paul in Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruitful Christian life is the only Christian life. Peter goes on to say in three ways, stop coasting and put your foot on the accelerator. Let's get going. Verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Live your salvation, is what Peter is saying, if you're really saved. So the first way that Peter says stop coasting and put your foot on the accelerator is remember your cleansing. Remember your cleansing. I would like you to underline some words, please. In verse 8 we read, for if these things are yours and abound, underline these things. Verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, underline these things. Verse 10, the second part says, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Underline these things. Every time, in every verse, he's referring to back to these things, the way of fruitfulness in verses 5 through 7. And verse 9 says, but he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So, lacking saving faith, lacking that desire to be like the Lord Jesus, lacking a knowledge of what Jesus is like, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, is compared in that verse, lacking those things is compared to two medical conditions. Number one, short-sightedness or myopia, and secondly, amnesia. Medically, the short-sighted or myopic can read no trouble at all, but they have trouble reading distant signs. Spiritually, the short-sighted see very clearly the world round about them, but they do not see the spiritual that is beyond. They do not set their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Their eyes are not set in heaven. They're not looking to Jesus and the author and finisher of their faith. And if that continues, they're going to become totally blind through lack of use. Verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness. If we do not have faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, it is because the world around us has captured our attention. It is because we've lost sight of the spiritual. Well, to put that another way, the second part of verse 9 says, and he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. He has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. There is a total amnesia to the spiritual past. If you're not growing in these things, I am, by the scripture, I rightfully ask, are you alive at all? If you are not growing in these things, are you alive at all? If there was birth, wouldn't we expect growth? Doctors love their percentile charts. They'd like to plot the growth of a newborn baby. And if there's any falling away off the percentile chart, they go hard, looking for the reason. If you lack a desire to be like Christ, if you lack Bible knowledge about Christ, if you have no self-control, if perseverance is beyond you, if you don't live godliness, brotherly kindness and love, if they are distant goals, you have forgotten what Christ did for you. And what did he do? He cleansed you. The Greek word is katharismos. The equivalent English word is catharsis. And I don't know what you think of when you think of catharsis, but the thing I think of is the surgeon. In bowel surgery, he wants every bit of feces cleansed from the intestines. The process is called catharsis, a total cleansing, a total purging of the alimentary system using mannitol or other medications. Point is, Christ's blood cleanses us from sins far more than any medication can cleanse us from the dirt inside. Thus, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, katharismos, catharsis, totally cleansed, sat down at the right hand of the majesty of high." If there is no evidence of growth, then we've become blind to the spiritual. And we have forgotten what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us in purging us from our sins. So the remedy is surely to remember. Remember that we have indeed been cleansed from our sins. He has purged us from all that is wrong and unholy in our lives. The remedy is to consider what he has done and fall down at his feet in repentance and full dedication to him, setting our eyes on the spiritual and determined not to forget what the Lord Jesus has done for us, pursuing moral excellence, Bible knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. In short, we must remember our cleansing, and it will produce such gratefulness that we will fanatically live for Christ. If you cannot respond in this way, you must consider that, like Justin Peters, you have never been saved at all. True but dreadful. One young man headed for home after work, just as he had done for years. Trouble was, he'd been recently married, and his old home wasn't home anymore. And so he arrived home late that night. Dinner was burned, and his new bride was burning mad. That evening, driven by pure habit, he'd gone the wrong way, thinking about whatever, and he had forgotten that he was married. We wonder how anyone could do that. But how often do we forget that we were bought with a price, that we belong to the Lord Jesus? Are you purged from your sin? I hear you saying yes. Praise God, you're purged from your sin. Then live like you're purged from your sin. Do not forget what he has done. Verse 13 tells us to remember. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Short-sightedness and forgetfulness is no laughing matter. It's so serious, we better make sure we're saved. Just look at the next verse. Well, the second way that Peter says, stop coasting and put your foot on the accelerator, is confirm your call. Confirm your call. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Because there is a danger of blindness, because there's a danger of forgetting what the Lord Jesus has done for us, verse 10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. If you are not increasing in desire to be like the Lord Jesus, knowledge of the Savior, self-control, victory over sin, be even more diligent. Be even more earnest and focused to make sure that you're really saved. You've got to live out this Christian life. Make sure you're calling an election sure. Confirm your call of salvation by growing in the Christian life. Any professing Christian who pursues the spiritual qualities of verses 5 to 7 is showing that he was called by God, he was elected by God, and is saved. Any professing Christian who is not pursuing those spiritual qualities is spiritually myopic, short-sighted, amnesic, and may have no spiritual life at all. They may not be saved. Therefore, make your calling and election sure, confirm your calling. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, you'll never stumble refers to salvation. It doesn't refer to sin. It doesn't mean if you do these things, you won't sin again. It refers to salvation. If you do these things, you won't fall away from the faith. You won't fall from the faith. Make sure by adding these things to your faith. Make sure by adding virtue to saving faith. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Make every effort in the Spirit to add virtue. Now, in the weeks ahead, we're going to see that virtue refers to moral excellence. We'll do a little bit of a word study there. But in context, it refers to that desire for moral excellence, that love of righteousness that the Lord Jesus had. And when he said on the Sermon on Mount, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. That's what we mean by virtue. You want to confirm your call? Then number one, seek to be like Christ. And number two, get a thorough knowledge of what Christ is like through the Scriptures. And it's once you have that, that's when the battle begins. Because verse 6 says, to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Do you have a favorite recipe? We have a few favorite recipes. Some of those never fail, tried and true recipes. And we produced our own family recipe book. But there are a couple of typos. For example, we left out 1 cup of self-raising flour from the recipe on apple cake. When you have a no-fail recipe that fails, you know that something has got to be wrong. If a Christian is failing, falling away, there's got to be something wrong. Verse 9 says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even a blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble. Make sure that you're saved, is what these scriptures are saying. If you have saving faith, desire to be like Christ. Desire to gain scriptural knowledge. Desire to live out self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. You won't fail. You won't fall from the faith if you do those things. So, to confirm your call, you and I should. Let me give you the list of 7 based on those qualities there. Number 1, you should be hating sin and longing to be like Christ. Number 2, you should know what the Lord Jesus Christ is like. You should be reading your Bible. You should be in church whenever the church doors are open. DVD and Christian books are okay, but we gain so much from fellowship and preaching of the word. They are means of grace to us. Number 3, we should be having victory over our sin and our sin bents. There should be progress in our Christian life. Number 5, that we must be increasingly going on in our Christian lives. Certainly not stagnating. Certainly not apathetic. Not coasting. Number 5, we should be more and more like Christ. The word is godliness. Oh, you say you are like Christ? That's good. Is that what your family would say? Number 6, are you kind then? Are you drawn to help the hurting? And lastly, number 7, do you sacrificially love? Do you sacrificially serve? I don't mean do you take your part on a roster. I mean do you put yourself out to serve this fellowship? Yes, then you have confirmed your calling. The third way Peter says stop coasting and put your foot on the accelerator is ensure your salvation. Number one, remember your cleansing. Number two, confirm your call. Number three, ensure your salvation. They're just different ways of saying the same thing. Peter's repeating it a number of times here. Verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, why not go for it? Some Christians are going to be saved by their skin of their teeth. They will enter heaven empty-handed. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15 says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. This is because some of our works, brothers and sisters, are wood and hay and straw, and these are going to be burned up. And so if all our works are burned up in this way, we enter heaven empty-handed. Why would we settle for that? Why not go for it? Verse 11 says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. If you do these things, you'll have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can have an abundant entrance in heaven. We don't have to be saved just by the skin of our teeth. One commentator says, an abundant entrance into heaven is the hope and reality for any Christian who lives a faithful and fruitful Christian life here on earth. Peter's point is that a Christian who pursues the spiritual will not only enjoy assurance here and now on earth, but they will have a full and rich reward in the future. Why not go after that full and rich reward? There is a gradation of privileges and rewards in glory. Why not go for it? And the way of fruitfulness, which we're going to examine closely, is in verses 5 to 7. Add this to that. Verse 11, so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like us to look at the word supplied. It could be translated added, for it is the same Greek word that is translated add in verse 5. Verse 5, also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add. So if you want to circle the word add in verse 5, and in verse 11, supplied, it's the same word in Greek. Let me tell you about that word. One commentator says, Epikourigo has a colourful and fascinating history. In Greek drama, the plays were put on by the combined effort of a poet who wrote the play, the government who supplied the theatre, the amphitheatre, and a individual, usually a wealthy individual called the Kourigos. He paid the expenses for the whole production. This called for a generous and costly effort on his part. In Peter's view, God has written the script of the Christian life. The world in which we live is the theatre in which this is played out before a watching audience. But the believer must cooperate by expending diligent efforts like the Kourigos made sure everything was supplied for that play. We make sure that we add these things into our Christian lives, putting every effort so that we have we show to the world the glory of God through our lives. Give a generous supply, add vigorously, and you will find it is God who does it through you. It is God who gives desire to live for Him, and it is God who enables us to live for Him. The word add is a pale translation of a generous supply. This is add vigorously. And yet, it is not of us at all. It is all of Him. Philippians 2 and verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The Christian life begins with saving faith. But also for this very reason, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith. But what we build on that saving faith demonstrates the reality of the saving faith. And therefore, verse 9 encourages us to go in the way of fruitfulness. It says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brothers, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember your cleansing. Confirm your call of salvation. Please make sure that you are saved. In Awana, we teach Bible verses, but more than that, we teach how to learn Bible verses. Now, there's various ways to learn the scripture, but the way I normally use myself and the way that I teach the kids is, number one, say the reference three times, look away, make sure you can say it, add the next phrase. So I say the reference and the first phrase three times, look away, make sure I can say it, and then I add phrase by phrase by phrase until I have the whole verse. But before I say it to anyone, I test myself. I make sure I can say the whole verse without looking and without hesitation. Before the final judgment, doesn't it make sense to test ourselves to make sure that everything is right? We've got to make sure that the spiritual qualities of faith, moral excellence, a knowledge of Christ and the scripture, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness and love, we've got to make sure they're there and abound. If so, we'll have an abounding entrance to heaven. If not, these scriptures say, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. I hope you have a hunger to develop these seven qualities, the way of fruitfulness in your lives. We'll spend time on this way of fruitfulness. So, a couple of questions as we close this morning. What determination do you need to make today? What have you got to get right? What are you going to do? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it is possible, although I don't know it, it is possible that someone here is like Justin Peters and is not yet saved. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would grant faith and repentance that this person might be yours. Maybe some child, maybe a teen, maybe an adult who has lived the Christian life for years, supposedly like Justin Peters did. Oh Lord, I pray for their salvation. Maybe some are saved here today, but with no works, they're all going to be burned up. They're going to be saved, praise God for that, but by the skin of their teeth. Oh Lord, I pray that they would desire with all their hearts to have an abundant entrance into heaven. Some of us, dear Heavenly Father, to various extents may have that abundant entrance. I pray, Father, that together we might encourage each other to go on and to live for the Lord Jesus. Grant us, Lord, that you may give us all diligence to go on and learn how to really grow and become fruitful in our Christian lives. Lord, can I say to you today, I want to be fruitful. I want to be more fruitful. I want to commit myself to put into that diligent effort, and yet not me, but you, Lord, to become really fruitful in my life. Would you just talk quietly to the Lord where you are right now? Tell him your heart. Father, thank you for these prayers that have gone up, and I pray that you would help each of us to go on to that pinnacle of love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.